الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد We continue our studies in the great work of the great Imam Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail Al-Bukhari Rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 256 from the greatest scholars of hadith, and he's known as Amir al-Mu'minina fil hadith, the commander of the believers with regards to the narrations of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has the most authentic work in the collection of the authentic narrations of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called Sahih al-Bukhari. And this is his famous work. But also he has other works as well that he authored and that he benefited the Ummah with, rahimahullahu ta'ala, by collecting and arranging and verifying the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from that is the work that we study, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And this is the book that he has written, and he has singled out the affairs of manners and etiquettes. Al-Adab al-Shar'iyya, the legislative manners and etiquettes and the good conduct that has come in the revelation that Allah, He has ordered in His Quran, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and encouraged. And likewise, the good and noble, upright, lofty conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he has displayed in his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. And if we remember, just a brief review, that the etiquettes of al-Islam and the manners of the Sharia are many. The manners of sitting in gatherings, and the manners of seeking knowledge, and the manners of teaching, and the manners of eating, and the manners of getting dressed, and the manners of sleeping, and the manners of giving salam, and the manners of entering the home, and the manners of leaving the home, and the manners of dealing with the food. There's manners related to the animals. There's manners related to so many different affairs, and all of them are very important. And Allah has clarified many of them in His book. And likewise, in the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the clarification has come. But Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, with his wisdom, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has not begun this book with the manners of eating, or the manners of giving salam, or the manners of getting dressed, although they're very important, or the manners of being kind, and the manners of checking one's tongue, and the manners of being honest and truthful. Rather, he began with the manners related to the parents. And we have seen that and the benefit from that. Because from mankind, those who have the greatest right upon us are our parents. Of course, after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning dealing with the general people, meaning the people who have the most right for us to have good manners with, and to have good speech with, and to apply all of these noble, lofty, legislative manners and etiquettes, they're our parents. After that, we have seen likewise that Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, he followed in line, in order with regards to the rights. And after the parents, beginning with the mother, and then the mention of the father, after that he mentioned, rahimahullah, keeping ties of the relatives. So this is where we have been at. So we see that Allah Azza wa Jal, He has the greatest right, and that is to be worshipped alone with no partners. And that whoever gives Him His right, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them and pardon them, and He will admit them into paradise. And whoever does not give Allah His right, then he is threatened with the punishment and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we must understand from this arrangement and order and this work here, that from the right of Allah Azza wa Jal and fulfilling the rights of Tawheed properly and being a good Muslim and having strong faith in Allah is that we give the people their rights too. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, He has given people rights. And the rights that the people have been given from Allah, they're different. They're different and they vary. Some of them are greater than others, but all of them must be fulfilled. So a believer, he cannot violate the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, not related to him in his worship, and also not related to the rights that Allah has given the people. And the one who follows this way, he's a good and upright Muslim, and he will have a great portion of goodness and mercy and happiness in this life, and even a greater portion of that in the hereafter, in the Jannah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this being said, we continue in this manner, reading what the author he has mentioned with regards to the rights of their relatives. And we read now, Babu Silati Rahimi Tazidu Fil Umr. And this is a great encouragement that the author, he's mentioning this chapter here. And it's the chapter that clarifies that keeping ties with your relatives, it would increase your lifespan. You will have a long life. Those people who would like to have a long life and like to live longer and have blessing in their life, there are means that one can take to obtain that, legislative means. And from that is to keep good ties with their relatives. The relatives, the rahim, they are those who you have a relationship with from your father's side or from your mother's side, like your grandma and your grandpa and your aunts and your uncles. Your grandma and your grandpa and your aunts and your uncles and your brothers and the likes like this. So beginning with the parents, this is the greatest of the relatives, and they have the greatest right. And likewise after that, your brothers and sisters and your children, those who have children, and also the grandfather and the grandmother on both sides of the parents, and likewise the uncles and the aunts that are related directly to the mother or the father. These are the rahim. They have ties of blood and kinship, and Allah has given them great rights. And from that, Allah has encouraged the believers to fulfill this right, and He has promised them a great reward in this life before the hereafter. And that is what Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he's mentioning here with this chapter. What is the title of the chapter? The chapter clarifying that keeping the ties of the relatives would increase in the lifespan. It would increase one's lifespan by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is all something that is written and known with Allah. This is all something that is written and known with Allah Azza wa Jal. So the author, he mentioned his chain of narration to Anas ibn Malik and radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُبْسَطَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ وَأَنْ يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ. Whoever would like to have his provision increased and given much more provision from the wealth and the likes of this life, and whoever would like to have his term and his lifespan lengthened likewise, then let him keep ties of the relatives. Then let him have a good relationship with his relatives and keep ties with them. Also, the author, he mentioned another narration from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and it's almost the same narration. And it is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يُبْسَطَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ وَأَنْ يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever would be pleased. So this is the difference. In the narration of Ibn Malik, he said, whoever would like to. And the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, whoever would be pleased to have his provision increased and to have his lifespan lengthened, then let him keep ties of the relatives. Then let him keep ties of the relatives. So here, who would like to have more money? Who would like to have more clothes? Who would like to have more good things and more wealth? Who would like to have the good affairs of this life? Who would like to have that? You? Would you like to have that? One of the ways to get that is to keep ties of the relatives and to be nice to your relatives and to be kind to them and to not turn away from them and to not be mean to them and to not turn your back on them and to not cut them off and not talk to them or to be rude to them, but rather keep ties with them, keep good relationship with them. The promise here is coming from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is revelation from Allah. And this is revelation from Allah. So from the means to have an increase in wealth and goodness from the good provision of this life is that one, he will keep ties with his relatives, and he will be nice to his relatives and his family members. And also his lifespan will be lengthened in this manner, and he will have blessing in his life, and he will have a good and the likes in his wealth and provision, and likewise in his lifespan. So this is a great encouragement that we should keep ties with our relatives, and that we should be nice to our family members, and that likewise, like the parents, also the other family members that we have ties with from our parents, they also have a great write upon us. And that this is from the Deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what the author, he clarifies in the next chapter. And he says, Babu man wasala rahimahu ahabbahu ahluhu. The chapter clarifying that whoever keeps ties with his family members and whoever keeps good relationship with his relatives, then his family will love him. Another great reward in this life, even before the hereafter. No doubt, this is something that's beloved to Allah, and whoever does it will have a great reward with Allah. But even in this life before that, he will have a reward from blessing in his provision and blessing in his lifespan. And also on top of that, his family will love him. They will love him. And if the family loves one another, then they will have much blessing and they will have much goodness in their family and in their household. And they will be working together upon khayr and upon goodness. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he mentioned a narration this time to Ibn Umar. His name is Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. He said, here we see, Abdullah, he didn't say that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said. It's mentioned that he said. What kind of hadith is that? This is the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar, not the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he narrated on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what kind of hadith is that? Al-hadith al-marfu'. You guys have to review. And if it is the statement of Ibn Umar himself, who was a companion, radiallahu anhuma, then that is called al-hadith al-mawquf. Al-hadith al-mawquf. So this hadith here, the first hadith was marfu', and now this hadith here is mawquf, meaning this is the statement of Ibn Umar. And he's giving us a great reminder about this affair. Radiallahu anhuma, he says, مَنِ اتَّقَى رَبَّهُ وَوَصَلَ رَحِمَهُ نُسِّيَ فِي أَجْرِهِ وَثَرَى مَالُهُ وَأَحَبَّهُ أَهْلُهُ. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he says, beginning with the right of Allah, whoever fears Allah, مَنِ اتَّقَى رَبَّهُ, reminding of this affair, that this has to be for the sake of Allah. Whoever fears Allah, and he has the love of Allah in his heart, and he worships Allah alone with his heart and with his actions of worship, and the good deeds that he does them for Allah and not for the people. And from that, keeping ties with the relatives. He's not keeping ties with the relatives to get something from the relatives. He's not nice to his mother and father because he wants something from them. Rather, he's nice to his mother and his father. And he's keeping ties with his relatives because it's pleasing to Allah. So he will be nice in this manner, hoping for the reward from Allah, not a reward from his relatives or from his parents. This is very important to remember. The affair of al-ikhlas. This is what Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he's reminding us about. مَنِ اتَّقَى رَبَّهُ, whoever has the taqwa of his Lord in his heart, he fears Allah and he makes his actions for Allah alone. وَوَصَلَ رَحِمَهُ, and he keeps the ties of the relatives. نُسِيَ فِي أَجْرِهِ, that his lifespan will be lengthened and he will be given a great blessing and a long life of goodness by the permission of Allah. وَثَرَى مَالُهُ, and his wealth will flourish and be good and increase and have much good and blessing in it. وَأَحَبَّهُ أَهْلُهُ, and his family will love him. So this narration here clarifies the importance of taqwa. And this is in every affair. The importance of taqwa, meaning doing the action out of the fear and the love of Allah, and hoping for the reward from Allah. Whatever the action is, if it's encouraged in al-Islam, and if it's something that is pleasing to Allah, then it has to be done for His sake alone. It has to be done for the sake of Allah alone and seeking His reward, not for the praise of the people or for the people to say, oh, wow, that kid is so good, or he keeps such nice relationship with his parents, or he's so nice to his brothers and sisters, or he is this and he that. Not for this reason. If somebody praised him, is that bad? No, what's bad? That he wants that, that his heart is wanting that. The heart has to want the reward from Allah and want the pleasure of Allah and the help from Allah, not from the people. And then if Allah blesses him and causes the people to praise him, then this is a reward in this life, even before the hereafter, and that's okay. But the issue here is the affair of the heart, that a believer, whenever he worships Allah, he does the good deeds, he does them for Allah, not for the people. Not for the people. So this is a great reminder here. And also in these narrations, we see that doing good deeds and being obedient to Allah is a means to have blessing and the help of Allah in this life before the hereafter. The blessing and the help of Allah, and that Allah would help a believer and give him more good in this life and put blessing and goodness in his actions and in his life and in his provision, all because he's obedient to Allah. All because he's obedient to Allah. And we should pay attention. May Allah bless you, that the opposite is true. The means to have a bad life and the means to have confusion and chaos and to be upset and unhappy is to disobey Allah wa riyadu billah. Is to disobey Allah wa riyadu billah. Those people who are most miserable, and even some of them are very wealthy, but they're miserable in their hearts and they're not happy nor content and they don't have peace or rest. There are those people who disobey Allah. And there are those people who have turned away from the trust and reliance of Allah and the faith and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the actions of obedience are very important and beneficial for a believer in this life and in the hereafter. And in the hereafter. After this, the author, he mentions another chapter related to this affair. And he says, rahimahullah, babu birr al-aqrabi fal-aqrab. Now, with regards to the relatives, he's clarifying who has the most right, first and foremost. Because we have a mother and a father, and we have brothers and sisters, and we have children, sons and daughters, and we have grandfather and grandmother, and we have aunts and uncles on this side and on that side. Which one has the most right, and which one should be shown preference, and which one has to come first? So for this reason, and to answer this question, the author, he says, rahimahullah, babu birr al-aqrabi fal-aqrab. The chapter clarifying that you must be kind and nice and be good to the nearest and then the nearest. Yani from the relatives, the one who is closest to you and your blood ties in the womb with your mother and father, this is the one who has the most right. So he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, his chain of narration to Al-Miqdam ibn Ma'di Kariba radiyallahu anhu, that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Inna Allah azza wa jal yusikum bi ummahatikum thumma yusikum bi ummahatikum thumma yusikum bi abaikum thumma yusikum bil aqrabi fal aqrab bil aqrabi fal aqrab. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily Allah has commanded you. Verily Allah has given you a highly emphasized commandment and advice that you be nice and good to your mothers. And then Allah has given you a highly emphasized command and advice that you be nice to your mothers. Two times. And then Allah has given you a highly emphasized command and advice that you be nice and kind to your fathers. And then Allah has commanded you and advised you, highly emphasized commandment, that you be nice and kind to the nearest and then the nearest from your relatives in this manner. So again, we see the important affair. Going back to the issue of the parents and the reminder of that issue, that the right of the mother, it is a great right. And that the mother has went through much hardship for the child and carrying the child in the womb and giving birth to the child and breastfeeding the child and nourishing and raising the child. And some more issues with regards to this will come insha'Allah ta'ala. But I sincerely advise you to review those classes from our previous semester to remember the great right of the mother and likewise the father. So here it comes again, that Allah, he commands you to be nice to your mothers, and then Allah, he commands you to be nice to your mothers, and then Allah commands you to be nice to your fathers, and then Allah commands you to be nice and good to those who are nearest, and then those who are nearest. And this is the proof here. So the mother, she has the greatest right. And the one who, if somebody is going to be nice to somebody, then he should be first and foremost nice to his mother. And then after that, if he was thinking, who should I be nice to now? Then he should know that the one who after that, that he should be the nicest to is his father. And then if somebody wants to be kind and have good manners with somebody after them, who will he look to? The closest and relatives and the closest in relationship to him from his parents, like his brothers and sisters, and like his uncles and aunts, and like his grandparents, and the likes like this. These people, they have the greatest rights upon us. Some people, they're very nice to some friends that have no ties of relationship like this. And then whenever they speak to their mother, they yell at them and they scream at them and they speak in a manner belittling them. And this is a bad way. Or whenever they speak to their father, they do the same thing. If some of the people were to speak to their friends the way they speak to their relatives, then they would have no friends. Then they would have no friends because nobody would accept that from them. But again, to see that great right of the relatives, that whenever a person even is mean to his relatives because of that bond and that tie that Allah has ingrained in them and created in them, that they still love them. That even the child is rude and disrespectful to the mother and she still loves her child. And she still shows mercy to her child. And the child is rude and disrespectful to the father, and he's patient and he still loves his child. But if one were to be rude and disrespectful to his friends, they would probably leave him in a moment, except in the case that that friendship was based upon taqwa and the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, then it would remain. The point is here, may Allah bless you, the importance of knowing the rights of the parents and then those who are nearest and those who are nearest. That we have to keep ties of our relatives. That this is very important. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this goes back to the urf. This goes back to the customs of the people. Doesn't mean that you have to see them every day. That doesn't mean that you have to call them every day. That doesn't mean that you have to write them a letter every day. But what is normally considered keeping ties in the society, then this is accepted. For example, sending them a message sometimes, checking up on them. How are you? How have you been doing? How is everything? Calling them on the phone, sending them a text, or going and visiting them in their house from time to time. Like this is considered keeping ties. This is considered keeping ties. Or to send them a gift in the mail and the likes like this, and to surprise them with some good. Call them and check up on them. How are you doing? How is the family? How is Abby? How is Ummi? How is Aunt so-and-so? How is Uncle so-and-so? Like this, and to check up on them from time to time, or to send them a message from time to time. All of this is considered keeping ties of the relatives, and there's no specific means to do that, just so long as one is not considered that he has turned away from his family and not kept ties with them and has left them. And because of this, the author, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, has mentioned another chapter, and this clarifies the dangers of cutting ties, the dangers of being mean to the relatives, cutting ties from them and turning away from them and not having relationship with them and not speaking to them and not contacting them. Or whenever one speaks to them, they're rude to them and they're mean to them, and they display that they do not want to have any love for them and that they don't want to have any relationship with them. And here the author, he says, Babu Ithmi Qati'i Ar-Rahim, the chapter clarifying the great sin of the one who cuts off the ties of the womb, the ties of the relatives, the one who cuts off the ties of kinship, the great sin of the one who cuts the ties of kinship. So the author, he mentioned his chain, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, to Jubair ibn Mut'im radiyallahu anhu, that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, this is a great statement, we should be careful. La yadkhulu al-jannata qati'u ar-rahim. La yadkhulu al-jannata qati'u ar-rahim. That whoever cuts the ties of his relatives and whoever breaks the bonds of kinship, he will not enter Jannah. He will not enter Jannah. The one who cuts off the ties of his relatives and he turns away from his family members and he's mean to them and rude to them and he cuts ties with them and he breaks that bond of kinship and he leaves them and turns away from them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he will not enter Jannah. He will not enter Jannah. So we see here, this is a great warning a great warning. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's telling us this in order to warn us so that we do not fall into that, that we'll be careful from that, that we remember that what is in what is at stake here is one's own paradise in Jannah. That if he were to cut ties with his relatives, it's a major sin. That this is a sign that's a major sin. And this must be understood according to the methodology of Ahl Sunnah. And to summarize that and to not go into details now, inshallah, in classes, we will learn the details of these affairs, inshallah ta'ala. But to know now, in summary, that the one who dies upon al-Islam and he's a Muslim, even if he made major sin, like cutting the ties of the relatives, what it means here that he will not enter paradise, meaning that he will not enter paradise with the beginning of those who enter with honor, and with in the beginning with those who enter with respect and with dignity and without any punishment. Rather, if he dies in that manner and Allah did not forgive him, then he will enter the fire first, and he will be cleansed in the fire and purified in the fire from these filthy sins, and then he'll be entered into paradise later. And that's what is understood from this issue here. لا يدخل الجنة قاطع رحم. That no one who cuts the ties of relatives will enter paradise. Meaning, if he is a Muslim and he died upon this sin without repenting, then he will not enter in the beginning. He will not enter in the beginning. And he will not enter except after punishment and reckoning, and after being punished in the hellfire and cleansed. And then he will enter paradise. And then he will enter paradise by the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this clear? After this, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, he clarifies one more issue. And there are many chapters here, but we summarize them. And we take that which is most beneficial for us at this time, inshallah ta'ala, in summarization. And now we see the issue of who is the one who is keeping ties of the relatives. What is the reality of keeping ties of the relatives? Because somebody may say, especially if they're ignorant and they do not know the al-adab al-shar'iyya, they might say, well, he doesn't call me, so I'm not calling him. Oh, she's rude to me, so I'm rude to her. Or they're not nice to me, so I'm not nice to them. Oh, they never check on me, why should I check on them? Somebody might say that, especially if they have a misunderstanding or they do not have foundations with regards to the noble and lofty manners and etiquettes of al-Islam and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for this reason, al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, بَابُ لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِئِ بَابُ لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِئِ. That this is the chapter clarifying that the one who keeps ties, the one who's truly keeping ties of relatives, he is not the one who is recompensing the people. He's not the one who's paying the people back. And he's not the one who does it whenever they do it. Rather, the one who is truly keeping ties, he's the one who keeps ties at all times. If the relatives keep ties with him and he keeps ties with them, alhamdulillah, he's good. But even if the relatives don't keep ties with him, he still keeps ties with them. This is the one who is truly keeping the ties of relatives. So it's not based upon what the people do, but rather it's based upon what a person does. And that keeping ties of the relatives, one, he does it for the sake of Allah, not because the people do it for him. Do we understand this? This is the point of this chapter. And the author, he mentioned a chain of narration. He mentioned a chain of narration to Abdullah ibn Amr, that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِئِ وَلَكِنِ الْوَاصِلُ أَلَّذِي إِذَا قَطَعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. That the person who's truly keeping ties of the relatives is not the one who is doing that to whenever they do it to him. Al-mukafa'a is whenever somebody does something because they do it to him. They call me, I call them. They're nice to me, I'm nice to them. If they're not nice to me, I'm not nice to them. This is called mukafa. So he does the good because good comes to him. He does bad because bad comes to him. So whatever they do it like this. What do they say? Tit for tat. This for that. Every time, well, you do this, I do that. If you're good to me, I'm good to you. If you're bad to me, I'm bad to you. Like this. This is not good. This is not the way of a believer. A believer, he doesn't deal with the people. His dealings with the people is based upon a taqwa. It's based upon his fear of Allah. It's based upon al-Iman and belief in Allah. And it's based upon remembering the right of Allah and that Allah has given the people rights. So therefore he deals with the people because he believes in Allah, not hoping for the people or not because of the people, and the likes like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the one who keeps ties of the relatives is not the one who acts like this. لَيْسَ بِالْمُكَافِئِ, the one who is nice whenever they're nice and so on and so forth, and he repays the good that they do. He says, but the wasil, the one who keeps the ties of relatives, he is the ones that whenever his relatives cut ties with him, he still tries to keep ties with them. That whenever the relatives cut ties with him, he still tries to keep ties with them. So here we see the great benefit here, that keeping the ties of relatives and being nice to one's relatives and family members, this is worship. This is ibadah. This is something that we have been commanded. This is something that we have been commanded. So therefore it has to be done for the sake of Allah. And this is such a great reminder that we have to remember that we are slaves in this life, and that we are created, and that we have a creator, and that we have provision, and that Allah, he provides for us, and that we have a purpose in life, and that we must remember him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make all of our actions of worship for him alone, and not for the people, or not because of the people. So if we're nice to our family members, it's not because we want something from them, or we want them to praise us, or we want to get some money from them or a gift, but rather it's because we believe in Allah, and we know that he has commanded us this. And if we do what he has commanded, then he has promised us paradise. And he has promised us much good. So therefore we do it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. From that affair, keeping ties of the relatives. From that affair, keeping ties of the relatives. Also from the great benefits of this hadith, we see that if somebody does bad to you, you don't do bad to them. Here this people, they cut ties with him. What did he do? He keeps ties with them. They cut off ties with him, so he tries to keep ties with them. They're mean to him, so what does he do? He's nice to them. So the people, a good Muslim, who's striving upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will not treat evil with evil or be rude to rude people, but rather whenever people are rude to him, he responds with good manners. And whenever the people are not nice to him, he doesn't flip and scream back at them, but rather, he will be calm and gentle, and he'll be nice to them, and he will respond in a good way. And if they cut ties with him, he does not cut ties with them. And this is because he's not doing it because of them. He's doing it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's doing it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, we see here that this is the greatest level of keeping ties. This is the greatest level of keeping ties. And though somebody will be mean to him and he's nice to them, that his relatives will not even like him or want to talk to him, but instead he will be nice to them and he will try to keep ties with them. This is from the greatest level. But likewise, keeping ties of the relatives, even if somebody didn't cut ties, meaning if they're nice to him and he's nice to them and he keeps ties with them and they keep ties with him, and it's all for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is also considered keeping ties. But the highest level and the hardest part of that is whenever somebody's family members are not nice to him, and then he'll continue to be nice to them. Doing all of this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we see the great rights of the relatives. And we close the issue of this, and we continue reading in our next class with some more affairs that the author, he mentioned with regards to the rights of the people. And we know that in the time of Al-Jahiliyyah, there were many bad manners, that they had, and from them is they didn't like girls. And they didn't like the baby girls, and they didn't like the women, and they were mean to the women. But whenever Islam came, Islam rectified that affair and gave great care and concern for the girls and great care and concern for the rights of the women. And we will see some of these issues, insha'Allah, in our class to come in Al-Adab al-Shar'iyyah. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.